as Hendrickson said in his commentary, the Apostle Paul would be very surprised to come and visit some churches today and find that there are no children in the meeting. When the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, he addressed the children, expecting them to be there, because God's Word has a message for children too. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, there's a message from God in the book of Ephesians directly to the children. And I believe every time the Word of God is opened, there's something for the children. And sometimes people say, well, the children can't understand the Bible. Well, you look pretty smart to me. I think you can understand. Children are real smart today. And I don't think they don't understand. I think they do understand. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, if you look at it, please, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents. I don't understand that. What does that mean? That's hard to understand. No, it's not. It's so clear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I hope that every single one of us this morning will heed God's Word and seek to obey it. On Christmas morning, do you remember Christmas morning? It wasn't that far removed from today. On Christmas morning, millions of boxes were opened. Wrapping paper was torn off the box. Ribbons were strewn and cast aside, and children's eyes grew wide with anticipated excitement as they saw on the outside of the box a picture of its contents. Picture of a train set, or a computer, or a game. And the box was opened, and the contents were removed. And all of the styrofoam was piled up in one corner of the room, and all the Christmas wrapping paper was wadded up into a pile as well. And then somebody tried to turn it on, to plug it in, or to make it work. But wait a minute. Somebody forgot to read the directions. Almost everything that we purchase today comes with a little booklet or a pamphlet or a printed sheet of directions. Now, that booklet usually will contain a parts list. It'll give operating instructions. It'll describe the features. It'll explain the operation. And it'll give warnings. You know, like, don't plug this in while you're standing in a bathtub filled with water. Or don't stick this thing in your ear. Everything has its own little set of instructions. Even a can opener comes with a little booklet that tells you all about it and how it works. Along with that information, there's usually a list of service and repair centers where you can take the product if it malfunctions or if it becomes broken. And of course, there's a registration card. When you were born, your mother probably checked you over to make sure that you had all of your parts. It's the first thing she did. She counted to see if you had enough toes. She counted your fingers to see if they were all there. She checked over and she examined you from head to toe. Let's see. One head, two arms, two legs, two feet. Oh no, you've got your father's feet. They point in. We'll have to do something about that maybe later on. You've got two eyes, one blue, one brown, oh well, no one's perfect, and brains. She couldn't see them, but she was hoping you had them. And she was hoping that they would fill up with good things. She hoped for the best as she checked you over. Now you would think, wouldn't it be nice if we all came with a set of instructions? You know, like a little tag on your rear that said, handle with care. Do not tumble dry. But there was no instruction booklet. Let me ask you, if a typewriter or a VCR needs an instruction booklet, don't you think a person should come with a set of instructions? I mean, even a toaster and a can opener come with a set of directions. Shouldn't a person also have a set of instructions? Well, the truth is, there is a set of instructions that comes with every baby, with every life, with every human being, and it's called the Bible. The problem with our world is people have rushed off to plug in life, to turn it on, to try to make it work without first reading the directions. And they cast aside the instructions with the wrapping paper and the ribbons. A person who lives life without directions is like the person who buys the VCR and never read the little booklet. All they understand is you plug it in and you push the thing that says on. They know nothing about programming or editing or tracking or dubbing or still framing or the 100 things that that machine can do. They don't know anything about it. And if you go to their house, the little clock is always blinking. 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Because they don't know how to set the silly thing. It's all in the little booklet. If they sat down and they slowly read it and followed the directions, then it would work. You will never discover all the features of life and the fullness of life if you don't read the directions. You will not know all of the dangers or the limitations of the soul unless you read God's book. You will not know where to go when things go wrong or something breaks unless you read what was written by the manufacturer. Did you ever try to play a board game with somebody who doesn't play by the rules? You know, someone who makes up the rules as it goes along. That's called cheating, and it's not a lot of fun. When everybody knows the rules and we play by the rules, then we can enjoy the game. Someone's going to go home fighting. Someone's going to go home crying unless they play by the rules. It's no fun to play baseball with someone who changes the rules and doesn't follow the foul line, who doesn't step on first base. Cheating. The Bible says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. What does that mean? That means that you can't cheat and win in life. It means you have to play the game by the rules. There was a chaotic period in the history of Israel known as the Age of the Judges. And it was a dangerous time to live in. It was dangerous because, as the Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'm afraid we're back to those days again, where everyone does what is right in their own eyes. And what we have is chaos, confusion, and catastrophe. Young people, one day, you'll be old enough to get your driver's license. But before you get the driver's license, they give you a little book. It's not very thick. But you have to study that book. You have to read that book. You have to master that manual before you get behind the wheel. There are certain laws of the road that must be observed. There are certain laws of thermodynamics about a fast-moving automobile that must be understood. There are laws of common courtesy that must be mastered and observed. That rule is the law. And there's a good reason for it. When you're driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, and there's another car coming at you from the other direction at 70 miles an hour, you hope that he is going to follow the same rules that you're following. If he's not, somebody could really get hurt. And now in the United States of America, in our country, the rule book says you drive on the right-hand side of the road. What happens if that other fellow says, I'm a free spirit? I drive where I want to drive. I do what I want to do. Well, then maybe they ought to get a four-wheel drive vehicle and go live out in Afghanistan somewhere. But if they're going to drive in the streets of Raleigh, and if there's going to be a thing called harmony and courtesy and civility, everybody has to follow the same rule. When the light turns red, we all agree to follow the rule. It says, stop. When the light turns green, we all understand that the rule means now we can go. That line in the middle of the highway that's double, that means that we're not supposed to go over in the other lane. In other words, that book, that driver's manual, is filled with these rules. I don't like rules. Rules are for the good of all. And God has given us guidelines for life. We hope that those that drive follow the rules. If they don't, there could be an accident. Someone could get killed. Someone could go to jail for not obeying the rules. The Hebrew people had a copy of the Bible. They called it the Torah. The Torah means instructions. Isn't it interesting that they called their Bible the instructions? God gave every baby, God gave every boy, God gave every girl, God gave every parent, God gave every man and every woman a book of instructions, and it's called the Bible. And it tells us how to get the most out of life. You get more out of life when you follow the directions. You get more out of life when you follow the instructions. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Young people, did you bring your Bibles? Open them, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by inspiration. What does that mean? Inspiration of God. That means that man didn't write this book. Man didn't write this manual. God wrote this book. God wrote this manual. And what will this manual tell us? Take a look at it. First of all, it'll tell us what is right. That's doctrine. Second, it'll tell us what is wrong. That's reproof. Third, it'll tell us how to get right. That's correction. Fourth, it'll tell us how to stay right. That's instruction in righteousness. Four things that the Bible will do. Number one, it tells us what is right. Doctrine. Second, it tells us what is wrong. That's reproof. It tells us how to get right. That's correction. And then it tells us how to stay right. That's instruction in righteousness. What a perfect manual. What a perfect set of directions. What a perfect book of instructions is God's book, the Bible. It'll tell us what is right. How do we know what is right? Who makes up the rules? Well, if you're Milton Bradley and you have a game company, you can make up the rules. You can say, I've made a game called Parcheesi, and these are the rules. Everybody puts the dice in the little thingamajig, and you shake them, and you throw them out, and then you count the number of squares, and then you move your little piece, and that's the rules. And then you wait for the next person to make their turn. And if you are Milton Bradley, you can make the rules for a game. But who makes the rules for life? Who has the right to make the rules for living? Only one, and that's the manufacturer, that's the maker, that's the author of life. That is God Almighty. God makes the rules. And those that break the rules break them to their own hurt, their own harm, and their own sorrow. What does the Bible do? It tells me what is right. It tells me what is wrong. It tells me how to get right. And it tells me how to stay right. How do we know what is right? God's Word tells us. Turn back with me, if you will, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Look at it. For this is right. See, the Bible tells us what is right, if we'll just read it. And it's a perfect example of something that is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, why should you obey your parents? Good question. Why should you obey your parents? Let me tell you why you should obey your parents. You want to know why? Number one, they're smarter than you are. That's the first reason you ought to obey your parents. They're smarter than you are. Now, some of you don't think that, especially as we get a little bit older, get to be about 14 or 15. We're not so sure of that. But let me assure you that your parents are smarter than you are. You mean even when I'm 14? Yes, even you're 14. Why? Because they used to be 14. They know all about being 14. And they know about being 15, and you're not even there yet. And they're going to know about being 16 and 17 and 18, and they're going to know what it's like to be 19 and 21 because they've already experienced it. They've been there. And if for no other reason, you ought to obey your parents because they're smarter than you are. They've been to the high school, and they've been to the college, perhaps, or the university, and some have been to graduate schools, and some go to work every single day, and they have experienced life and experienced things that you have not experienced yet, and they know more than you, and you ought to obey them because they're smarter than you are. That's a pretty good reason. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The second reason you ought to obey your parents is that's not good enough that they're smarter. They love you more than anybody else in all this world. They love you more than anybody in all this world. Do they love me more than my Sunday school teacher? Let me assure you, they love you much, much more than your Sunday school teacher, and your Sunday school teacher loves you a lot. But the love of your Sunday school teacher cannot even come close or compare to how much your mother and your father love you. Your mother and father love you more than anybody in all of the world. they were there when you were born, and they held you in their arms, and they stayed up all night, and they rocked you. And when you had the colic and you couldn't stop crying, they put up with you. And when you first got the cold and you got the sniffles, they medicated you. And on your first day, they took you to school and you were nervous and you were afraid and they encouraged you. And if some bully bothered you in the schoolyard, they defended you. Nobody, nobody, nobody in all of the world loves you more than your mom and your dad. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. Why? Well, number one, because they're smarter than you are. Number two, they love you more than anybody in all the world. You say, what? Mr. Ingmar, when I get to be 18 years old, I'm going to leave home and I'm going to get married. And I'm going to move out and get my own place. And that's wonderful. But let me tell you a secret. Even after you find that person that you're going to love more than you love your mom and dad, and you will, because that's what the Bible says. For this cause will a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And when you fall in love and find that one person, they're the most important person in all of the world to you. Your parents are expecting it. And you're going to get married, and you're going to go driving away with the tin cans, you know, bouncing on the back of the bumper in the car down the street. Your mom and dad are going to wave to you, and now you're sitting next to the person that you love more than all the people in all of the world, because you're in love. Let me tell you a secret. Your parents will not love you any less. And they already loved you more than anything. They will not love you any less. Even though you drive and move away to another state, they'll still love you more than anybody. Now you need to honor them at that point. You need to form your own family, find your own way, build your own house, buy your own food, and then you start the process all over again. First reason children ought to obey their parents is because parents know more. Second reason you ought to obey their parents is because the parents love you more. The third reason you ought to obey your parents is because God said so. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 is God's word, and God's word says, children, obey your parents. Number one reason is they know more. Number two reason is they love you more. The number three reason is because God told you to. And let me ask you this morning, boys and girls, young people, will you agree with me that God has a right to make the rules and He knows how it's supposed to work? Those that don't figure that out end up in great sorrow. They don't somehow believe that God has a right to make the rules. And one of the rules He makes is so simple. Here it is in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, but He even put it in the Ten Commandments just in case anybody might miss the thing. It's the fifth commandment. Honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment of promise. And by the way, He wants you to notice it says, honor your mother and your father. Yeah, your mother and your father. Those are the two people that love you more than anything in all the world. And we're to honor them. But the Apostle Paul says, one of the ways we honor them when we're children, when we're under 18, is we obey them. Why am I going to obey my parents? Number one, they know more. Number two, they love you more. Number three, because God said so. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. God said, obey them. You might not always understand, but you need to obey. When that little one-year-old starts crawling around in the kitchen and he opens up underneath the kitchen cabinet and starts pulling out all this interesting stuff. What is this here? Let me smell this stuff. It smells so good. I think I'll drink it. Mom comes in and says, "No! Put that away! You're just about to drink some oven cleaner. And that's not going to be good for your digestive system." Now, you don't know that. You say, "I don't know that. I want to try everything. I'm a free spirit. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go through life and I'm going to open up all the bottles and all the caps and I'm going to try everything." Are you going to drink a bottle of Drano? Are you going to drink a bottle of Mr. Clean? Just because you've never done it before? No, the Bible's filled with warnings. Just like that little hair dryer you got for Christmas, and you plug it in, and then it says in the little booklet, "Don't plug this in while you're standing in the shower." Why? Because it would be an electrifying experience, and you might get killed. The Bible has warnings about life. And it tells us how to get the most out of life if we just read the instructions. I can't read the instructions. They're so complicated. The Bible's so complicated. What's so complicated about children, obey your parents in the Lord? It's not complicated. It's just that you don't want to play by the rules. Why should I obey my parents? Number one, they know more than you do. Number two, they love you more than anybody in all the world. Number three, because God said so. And number four, because it is right. Because it is right. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And when we make up our mind that we want to do it right the first time, we don't have to go back and somehow try to make it up because we spent a lot of time making it wrong. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What if somebody says, "I don't care about right"? If you're in America driving on the highway, you better know what's right. Now, in England, that's different. You drive on the other side of the highway, but we're not in England. Here we drive on the right. And spiritually and morally, we need to learn that in God's economy, we need to drive on the right. We need to do what's right. So I don't want to do what's right. I want to drive on the other side of the highway. Uh-oh. We might have to go visit you in the penitentiary because you decided that you were going to do it some other way. Why can't I just experiment and do it some other way? Well, because it's not right. God knows what's right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's right. All Scripture, said Paul, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what's right. And reproof, that's what's wrong. And for correction, that tells us how to get right. And instruction in righteousness, that tells us how to stay right. Another word for the Bible is instruction in righteousness. Somebody says in my library, "I'm looking for a book." Really? What's the book you're looking for? "I'm looking for a book, I think it's called Instruction in Righteousness. It tells me how to do right. It tells me how to get right. It tells me how to stay right. It tells me it's the instruction in righteousness." What is that book? The Bible. Oh, God's given to us a precious treasure. You know, if you open up that box and you take that thing out and you get the warranty. Not only is there a list of all the parts, not only does it tell you how to get the most out of what the thing you bought, it also tells you that if the thing gets broken, it tells you where to go. If the thing gets broken, it tells you where to go. It tells you where the service centers are. Yes? Good to know. Ladies and gentlemen, North Raleigh Chapel is a service center. Oh, there are many of them. That's all we are. A service center that wants to help people to know what is right and how to get right and how to stay right. It's a service center. Something goes wrong. How do you get it fixed? How do you make it work again? Everywhere we look, people have problems because they plugged the thing in before they read the book. They went half through their life living without knowing how the thing really worked. And now they realize that they really messed it up, and maybe they messed it up so bad that it can't be fixed anymore. Well, I have good news for you. There's no person so broken that God can't fix them. You've been working it all wrong all these years, and the thing is damaged, yes. It's damaged when we work it wrong, and that's called sin. Sometimes when a product is made, it has a defect. And if it has a defect, then you have to bring it back, and they have what they call a recall. And if you bring it in and you present it, they'll fix it for you. Well, every person that's born has a defect. When your mother, you remember when your mother counted your toes, you had all 10 and you had 10 fingers? You had 2 eyes and 2 ears and a mouth. She wanted to know if everything was okay. And you looked okay. You looked pretty good. The Bible says that every one of us has a defect. You don't see it on the outside. You don't see it until you get a little bit older. Then it starts to show that it's something's broken. And that's called sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means that every one of us is born with a defect. Now, it's not the manufacturer's fault. It's not God's fault. When God made man, he made him perfect. But then Satan came and whispered in Eve's ear and tried to convince her that somehow God didn't love Adam and Eve as much as Satan did. Satan came along and said, you ought to be a free spirit. You ought to do it your way. God just doesn't want you to have any fun. He knows, as a matter of fact, the day that you do what he told you not to do, that you'll be so smart. You'll be like God. Well, she believed that lie. And ever since then, every little baby that was born with the same defect called sin. Now, what are we going to do with that? We need to fix it. That's why the prisons are filled with prisoners. That's why people are killing each other on battlefields. And that's why people die and have to be buried. Why? Because there's a defect. There's something wrong with life. And it's not the manufacturer's fault. It's not the creator's fault. It's sin's fault. And God has a remedy. Turn with me again to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Young people, boys and girls, I hope you bring your Bibles, and I hope that you read them when we come to such a place as this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. That's the verse before 16. Look at it. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It's not enough that you're just wise. You can read lots, listen folks, you can read a lot of books that'll make you wise. When you go finish through junior high, they give you some more books. And when you finish with those books in junior high, in high school, they'll give you more books. And when you finish with those books, you'll go to college, and in the freshman class, they'll give you a stack this high. They'll give you more books. And all of these books can make us wise. But there's only one book that can make you wise unto salvation. Look at it. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How? Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There's the fix. You can try everything to fix a broken life, and it won't work. God has the perfect fix. Jesus. Won't you accept Him as your personal Savior? Once He comes into your heart, He is the King of righteousness. Things will start to be right. Trust Him as your own personal Lord and Savior. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing a hymn, number 320, I believe. And it has the two ingredients of that happy life, trust and obey. Number 320, please. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. What do we do with God's book? Well, we trust it. We believe it. And then we obey it. See, I don't understand the Word of God. Well, once you meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who is the Word of God, then His Word will be precious to you. Let's stand together as we sing first and last stanza of Trust and Obey. Sing it out.